This morning we're going to talk a bit about love, loving our neighbor. And that's something we've all heard from when we were a real little kid. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that is important. God wants us to love one another. But it's not always easy, is it? And yet God tells us that that's something we must strive for. And our text today usually is divided up into three different sermons. But as I was looking at the Sermon on the Mount, I realized that these three have something in common. And that is, for these to work, there must be love. Love for other people, as well as for ourselves. And so I've just put them together. You've heard these things preached many, many times, probably by better preachers than myself. But I want to get the point that these things can happen only if we're working at loving others. So in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 38, Jesus is teaching a Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." And I'm sure as the people heard Jesus teaching these things, they were probably puzzled, like we often are when we read these passages. What is he talking about? Are we to be treated as doormats? You know, are we to, you know, just let our enemies run all over us? Are we to not take pride in ourselves? And Jesus isn't dealing with any of that. You know, and he's not saying we should be a doormat. When you actually look at what Jesus said, there's always a limit to what we can put up with. But what he says is interesting from the perspective of love. Because in verse 48, Jesus said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, what did he mean by that? Well, the word there for perfect in the Greek means perfect, or also translated complete. What he's telling us is that we need to strive to develop love for our fellow man, love and compassion for those around us, those who would use and abuse us, those who are actual enemies, and even when it comes to helping those in need, doing it out of love and not for praise. Loving other people. Now, in our day and age, and I don't think it's unique to our day and age, but it's so common for people to think love means that I'm going to approve of everybody. I'm going to approve of their actions. I'm not going to make waves. Live and let live. People can do and be what they want to be. Love is just going with the flow. But that's not biblical love. And it's not the love here. The love here is not the emotional love, which is what we usually fall back on, simply because emotional love is easy. You don't have to think about that. You just kind of go with how you feel. But, you know, feelings change constantly. But this is the word agape, which literally means to want what's best for the other person. To want what's best for the other person. So that's why even in marriage, you have the emotional love. You have the sexual love, the eros. But you also have the agape love, which is what overpowers and controls everything else, all the other aspects of love. That is wanting what's best for your partner. And so when we look at the world around us, our desire, even as God's desire is to want the best for people. But who determines what's best for somebody? Well, it's God. God is very clear about what's best for people. And when we stop and think about when we're interacting with other people, we need to think, what does God want for this person? What do I know of God's word that He wants? And first and foremost is for a person who's lost, who's hurting, who's caught up in evil, to come to realize their need for Jesus Christ. Their need to be forgiven. Because Scripture's plain, there's no salvation without repentance. And Jesus said, no one will see God without holiness. And so we are to grow in our own relationship with God, so we see God, but we help others come to see God too. And it starts with recognizing one's need for forgiveness and to get their life on track with God. And that means repentance is recognizing I'm living as an enemy of God, but now I want to belong to God. I want to turn my life over to Him, and I'm willing to give myself. How do we accomplish that? Well, it's not always easy because we are of this world. And so when people do yell at us, what's our inclination? Well, yell back. Someone hits us, what's our inclination? Hit back. Someone does something to us, maybe at work they try to undercut us or something. So what do? As general human beings, well, what do we say? Tit for tat. You know, you just get in there and rough it up. Dog eat dog. But Jesus is saying, if you really care about people, if you really see what they need, they don't need someone to talk back to them. They don't need someone to, you know, pay them back for what they've just given you. What they need is to be confronted by someone who cares about them. And so eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that was the law, you know, just punishment. But people took it also for the opportunity for revenge. And we're not to seek revenge. When he says, don't resist an evil person, someone strikes you on the one right cheek, turn to the other. It's all about, first of all, not getting hurt yourself. Okay? You know, even in our day and age, you know, you go into a bank, bank tellers are told, if a robber comes in, give him the money. You know, don't be a hero. You know, you don't want to make it worse. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. If you care about people, you don't want it to make things worse. So fighting back, trying to get even, oftentimes only causes an escalation of the problem and makes whatever the sinful person's doing even worse. But rather, it's an opportunity. Even if someone's suing us, you just go so far. But the whole point is to have an opportunity to share with that person that you care about them. Now, as Jesus is talking here in the Sermon on the Mount, it's early in his ministry. He's talking to the Jews. A lot of this is going right over their head. But it's recorded for us by the Holy Spirit so that we can apply it to us as Christians. It's about being willing to give of ourselves to those who would use and abuse us. Even as Jesus came and ministered to people who abused him. The Pharisees were always on his case, and the Sadducees. Other people challenged Jesus. And of course, his arrest and crucifixion. Jesus endured it. Why? To seek and save as many as possible. And we're to follow in his example. The world says, get even. Jesus says, endeavor to save. And that can only come from love. Because the motivation to get even, well, is just based upon the emotions of the moment. Or festers and becomes sneaky planning. But if we really love people and care about their need for salvation, we're going to be less likely to retaliate, but rather lift them up in prayer, share the good news of Christ, encourage them, surprise them by not being retaliatory. And he says, love your enemy. Love your enemy. You know, a lot of times people say, you know, this little phrase, love the sinner, but hate the sin. And what happens is, well, you know, I love the person. I don't like what they do, but it's okay because I love the person. And that's not what Scripture talks about. If we love the sinner, yeah, we hate the sin, but the sin is part of the person, the part of the sinner. You got to take the sin out of the sinner in order for the sinner to no longer be a sinner. So what do? We witness, we share, we love, we encourage, we help. And oftentimes we can make an enemy a friend and a brother or sister in Christ by endeavoring to meet what their greatest need is, and that's Jesus. Sometimes it's just a matter of being generous with them, being compassionate, not being hateful to an enemy. And that can help turn them around. In verse 44, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your heavenly Father. You see, that's what God's children do. They pray for their enemies. That's what we are expected to be able to develop, that desire to pray for our enemies. Now, you look at the book of Psalms, and I think we get a good example here. In all the various Psalms, David had a lot of enemies, didn't he? Some of the others who wrote Psalms had enemies. And David especially often said, Lord, you know, kill my enemies. Get rid of them. Knock their teeth out. He even says that in one of the Psalms. Knock their teeth out. Make them swallow them. He's just very angry. And then he says, Lord, your will be done. I praise you. And he goes on and on praising God. What he did was he took what he was feeling and expressed it to God, because God already knows what he was feeling, but he was expressing it so that God could help him. And sometimes, you know, when we think about loving others, we think, oh, we got to be going around feeling good all the time. Well, I don't think Jesus went around feeling good all the time. Remember one time Jesus was so frustrated, he just blurted out, how much longer must I be among you? And when Peter didn't understand about Jesus and his foretelling about his death, burial, and resurrection, Peter said, never, Lord, not to you. And Jesus turned right around and said, get behind me, Satan. You do not have the things of God in mind. And I don't think he said that with a smile. That's not the type of thing you would say with a smile. So there's times we need to talk to God about how we're feeling, because our feelings are real. And it doesn't mean they're wrong, but we don't want to take our angry or hateful feelings toward others and act upon them, but rather we want to turn around and express love to those who persecute us. And so we need to pray for them as well as for ourselves. Because you know what? If you're busy praying for somebody, it's harder to dislike them. It's harder to hate them. And if you want an example of that, look at Jesus on the cross. He's there, he's suffering, and what does he say? Father, annihilate them. No. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had a love for the very people who were crucifying him. Doesn't make what they did right. But Jesus neither was there to condemn them at that moment. If they never repented, they're facing their condemnation. You know, there's time set apart for that, but that's not for us to do. That's the Heavenly Father's job, to pass condemnation. But our job is to seek and save the lost. And it's easy, as he says here, it's easy to love the people who love us. It's easy to come to church and love one another. It's not quite so easy when we go out into the world. It's not so easy when we're going out and facing those who would hate us or give us a hard time. But he says, the pagans can respond in kind. We need to respond in love. Be perfect or be complete. Strive to love, to love, to love. The agape love. And then he applies it to helping those in need. He talks about our enemies and our struggles, but then those in need. It's almost two extremes. He says, don't do your acts of righteousness. That is, don't do your generosity, your acts of generosity, for everybody to see. And when he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, I've heard many, many sermons over the years, even when I was a kid, people saying, you know, well, you shouldn't keep track of even your church offering. And that's not at all what it says. In fact, when you look at the Old Testament and the people having to tithe, you know, and giving more than their tithe for the construction of the temple, records were kept. But what he's talking about is, don't go around saying, hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing, you know. See what I'm doing over here? I'm giving this guy some money. You know, a lot of people aren't that obvious, but that's the point. They want to be seen. Just like the Pharisee who was in the temple and praising God for all the things that he could do, and he's praying like this, his arms are raised, and I thank you, I'm not like that tax collector over there. But what's the tax collector doing? Hitting himself in the chest, repenting before God, seeking mercy. He's not standing there going, hey God, look at me, I'm a sinner, please save me. But he's very humble. And likewise, when it comes to helping somebody, what do? Well, we extend a hand, don't we, to help. And if you're left-handed, well, okay, it's the left hand. But it's usually not both. It's not both. We're not going, hey, look at me. And yet that is something that our world does like to look for. You know, and people to be praised for their generosity. Oftentimes what they call it a photo op. You know, you're going to make a donation, oh, you got to have a photo op. So it gets in the paper or it gets online. And sometimes that's fine depending upon what it is. But the things that we do when we're helping someone, we need to help because we care about the person. And in all things, helping someone financially, even like Jesus said, a cup of water, giving some food to somebody, that's important if somebody's in need. But we also need to share the love of Jesus along with that, that they know that's why we give. It's not putting anything on us. It's saying, you know, I'm glad to do this because God's blessed me and I'm able to help you a bit too because God loves you too. And I love you. Even though I don't know you, I love you. That's why I'm giving this. And we keep it simple because it's easier to be generous with people when we care about people rather than them being coerced into giving. I'm sure we've all been on streets in cities where people come up begging and, you know, they're begging for money and, well, okay, well, here's a few dollars. And you go away and you feel like, yeah, you know, there was no time, you know, to really communicate. The person was begging, you gave them something, very little interaction. Mainly you just give them something to get them off so they'll go away. That's a horrible feeling. But then to be able to actually take a few moments and talk to somebody and say, here, let me help you. Sometimes that builds some positive relationships and can help someone come to Christ who's not already a Christian. You see, love must be real and not for show. Give because we care about the person. And it's easy in our day and age where everything's corporate-minded that even, you know, generosity has become corporate. And meeting the needs of people so often becomes impersonal. But the Lord is saying, as you as an individual have an opportunity to bless somebody in need, do it because you care about them. Doesn't mean you have to get involved in their life, but that you care about them as a human being, someone who needs Jesus, and you're giving them help in His name. See, it all comes down to an attitude of love that God wants us to develop, to know God's will so well that we can apply His will to all of our human interactions, dealing with those who would use and abuse us, dealing with those who oppose us that are enemies, and even helping those in need. They all impact us fairly frequently. And the world responds usually in a negative way because the world is caught up in sin. For you and I, we must respond out of love. But it's a love that must be developed. We're not going to learn it in this world. We can only learn it from God. Thus, and this is a command in verse 49, be complete as your heavenly Father is complete. That is love. Do everything out of love. Now keep in mind, love sometimes must be tough. You know, when our children did something wrong, we had to correct them, sometimes punish, right? And so sometimes interactions with people, sometimes we need to be tough because we love them. Not meaning to be mean or hateful, but because they have an issue and the only way to help is to deal with it. You know, doing what they need. And that's what Jesus did. When you look at His teaching, Jesus confronted people where they were. And He told them the truth. Now, what they were going to do with that truth was up to them. But Jesus didn't mince His words. He said, here's the truth. And here's what you need to do. And so the same for us. Love is not just sitting back and being happy and joyful and, oh, everything's okay, peachy keen. But rather, love is, what does God demand of me and others? And how can I help express that in a loving way, compassionate way, to those around me, especially those who rub me the wrong way? It's something we have to work on and develop. But it starts first with the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with your whole being. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus had said in His parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, He ended with this in Luke 18, verse 14. Jesus said, this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Loving others means to be humble ourselves. And we trust God. One day, He will exalt us. Exalt us to the highest place along with our Lord forever and ever. Right now we're going to sing the hymn, Freely, Freely. And I always like this hymn because of what it says. Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name because you believe, others will know that I live. What the world needs to see is that God's way works. And He's given to us, you and I, freely of His love, of His truth, of His grace. And because He's given it freely to us, we must freely give to others. That's His call. That's our mission. Let's stand together, shall we? Just sing.